super proud this morning to ask Christy Vargas to come today and to share God's word with us. Would you just welcome her? Let her know that we're excited that she's sharing today. We love you, Christy.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good morning, Red Chapel. How is everyone doing today? You know how this goes when I'm up here, right? If you're happy to be in the Lord's house today, let me hear you make some noise. Woo! Fantastic. And like you said, don't worry, I'm not here for a 30-minute rundown of announcements, so there's no need to run for the exits quite yet. But Pastor Donnie has been gracious enough to ask me to speak with you today, and I am so excited and feeling very blessed to share the good news. This week is a great week to be at Red Chapel because it's the final week of our Daniel series. If you've been here all summer, we've just kind of focused in on the Daniel series and what they were called to stand for throughout the series. We've talked about how they were called to stand up, to stand out, to stand down, and last week we talked about how we were to stand in the gap. But today we're going to talk about Daniel and how he was called to stand strong. And nothing illustrates the story of strength or standing strong better than the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Amen? It's a story they tell in VBS, in Sunday school, and it's a powerful illustration of God's faithfulness. Amen? Okay, so but before we jump into scripture, let's talk about what it means to be strong. What do you think of when I say strong? When I think of strength, I think of these like massive bodybuilders or these CrossFit gurus, maybe like Pastor Donnie up here, or these NFL athletes, right? These people who train day after day after day to build up this incredible strength that will allow them to endure hours of competition with the ultimate goal of winning. I too recently started this CrossFit boot camp with Sonia. Again, I just started, give me time here, and it is crazy. If any of you know about these CrossFit workouts, they require an enormous amount of strength just to do a warm-up. Earlier this week, I did the warm-up, and it was a 800-meter run, which means you run half a mile, or like two laps on a track, and then it was followed by a ton of squats, and then we were doing these arm stretches, right? And you put your arms in these like tools and contraptions, and they twist you into these pretzel shapes, and supposedly it's supposed to be good for you, right? And I know these tools and contraptions are probably outlawed in at least 5 states, but here I am trying to enjoy this stretch. And then after you do the stretch, you actually have to do a workout. Like, you're not done. They still want you to do more. And they have these things called handstand push-ups. I'm gonna let that sit for a second. A handstand push-up. First of all, you're supposed to remember how to do a handstand from when you were like 8 years old, and then hold the handstand, and then parlay it into these push-ups over and over and over again. If you picture me, just picture me basically like a slinky. Like, you just throw it down and everything just crumbles over. I do not have the strength for this exercise. But they do have these things there called modified exercise, which allows for every strength level to work on getting those muscles stronger. So right now, I'm at a modified level, and I'm training, though, to one day do those handstand push-ups. But I want to do these handstand push-ups, but I realize that it's going to take some time. So that's going to take us to our first point of today, which is strength takes time. You see, Daniel realizes the same thing was required for his prayer life. Daniel prays every day, 3 times a day for his entire life, because strength takes time. Now, I'm sure along the way that it seemed difficult to do. He may have had to do a modified strengthening in his prayer life, but he trained that spiritual life to revolve around prayer. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel is confronted with death unless he can interpret a dream for the king. His response was to pray. Daniel was confident in his prayers. And that's just what Daniel did. No matter where Daniel was, he prayed, whether he was in the palace or in the fields of the empire or in a foreign place. He prayed, he prayed, he prayed. That's building some seriously strong spiritual prayer life, because strength takes time. It has to be repeated over and over and over again, ladies and gentlemen, like those glutes I see on Instagram, right? That wasn't 2 days of squats. That is a repetition over and over again, the same movement to strengthen. And I wonder how committed we are to our spiritual strength through prayer. How often do we really pray? And how much of a prayer schedule have we started? Do we let the circumstances of where we are dictate if we're going to pray? Like before meals? Or if we're at a business meeting, do we say grace before eating? Do we pray with our children before dropping them off at public school the same way we do before dropping them off at church? See, Daniel was strong because he prayed every day, 3 times a day, for an entire life, no matter what. So let's pick up with Daniel. We're going to do chapter 6. And this is where Daniel is serving in yet another reign of another king. This time it's Darius, King Darius the Mede. And Daniel has once again found favor and influence. But because Daniel is such an impressive servant, let's read. We're going to do chapter 6, 4 here. It says, "The other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize or condone. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy." So they concluded, "Our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion." So the administrator and high officers went to the king and said, "Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement. We administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions." So King Darius signs the law. So once again, the way through a king's heart is through pride, right? This pride is so strong, King Darius signs a law that cannot be undone. But I want you to notice one thing. Notice that they only ask for 30 days here, right? Not forever, not for a year. The governors only ask for 30 days because they know that's all that they're going to need to catch Daniel in fault of this new law. In all honesty, they could have probably passed the law just for one day, and they knew that they would catch Daniel breaking the law because Daniel was faithful and he was strong in his prayer life. So let's head to verse 10. "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to his God." Wow. As he had always done. This is spiritual strength. Stand strong. I want you to think about it like this. Daniel could have gone home, right? Still went upstairs, but he could have just closed those windows, right? Or maybe drawn the curtains and prayed, but he didn't do that. He could have decided maybe only to pray once a day, maybe stayed in bed that morning and just prayed a little extra longer so that no one could tell if he was sleeping or praying, but he didn't do that either. He could have also just said to God, "You know what? How about I just take 30 days off, right? There's this law. You know I'm really faithful. How about I see you next month?" No, he did not do that either. He knelt down with the windows open and prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done. And I don't know about you, but I want some of the spiritual strength, right, to stand strong. So it got me thinking, how do we get this kind of spiritual strength? Well, if you're new to the church, or maybe you're in this modified strengthening of your prayer life, we've got some good news. We've got some answers for you. We basically are just trying to figure out how to expand our relationship with God. What do we need to do to strengthen our spiritual life for the training and the trials ahead? The good news is it is pretty easy to start, because like Daniel, we can start with prayer, right? We can start with prayer. We find time to connect with prayer every single day. Our prayers don't have to be super eloquent, right, with the these and the thous. They're just this conversation with our Lord God, our Father, our Creator. You know, Pastor Donnie talked about this last week in our Stand in the Gap sermon. He said most Christians are a little embarrassed to pray out loud. And I get that. Don't you get that? It seems a little bit hard to do. So one of the things I've been practicing is I have learned to pray out loud. loud. In fact, I pray out loud almost all of the time now. I talk out loud and pray to Jesus in front of my kids. I talk out loud and pray to God in my car. I talk out loud and pray when I'm stuck in a tough spot with relationships. In fact, this is when I pray for patience or bail money or both, because I know y'all have some of those relationships, right? But I know that if I'm just talking or if I'm just saying it in my mind, I try to imagine this conversation with God, I know that I'm not really getting it all out. I'm not 100% honest in my praying. So I pray out loud. And I'm sure you probably all pray differently. And that's just the wonderful and amazing thing about this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can pray silently. You can pray in written form. You can pray through song. However we pray, just pray, right? Amen. So now we've got this prayer going, right? The next step is to start reading the Bible every day, and I mean every day, because prayer is not just talking to God, but we've also got to listen as well, right? And that's how God talks to us, is when we read the Bible. It's how God speaks to us. And this is why we must build and balance our strength through both prayer and reading the Bible. You see, no one can build this body strength with just doing these amazing arm exercises, right? I'm sure you've seen the super buff gals and girls, the glistening arm muscles, right? Like, that just ripple. But then you kind of pan out, and you'll see these, like, little teeny tiny little legs with no definition, right? Don't skip leg day, right? Like that. You don't want to look like that. Friends, don't let friends skip leg day. It's the same with the strengthening of our relationship with the Lord. So you need both prayers, right, like the arm exercises, and then you need the reading of the Bible. We'll say that's like the lower body exercises to build this healthy, strong bond, to stand strong. And this is going to lead us to our second takeaway of the day, which is endurance takes training. So first we had strength takes time, and this one is endurance takes training. So at this point in the story, Daniel's estimated to be about 80 years of age, right? Not a spring chicken. He has been around for a little bit. And so if Daniel had prayed 3 times a day, every day since he was 16 years old, he would have built a relationship with God through 70,800 prayers. I'm going to say that again, 70,800 prayers. That is a lot of conversations with God. That is a lot of self-reflection, and that is a lot of discipline. Stand strong. And then Daniel also is training. He's enduring all the time during his training. He continually pushed the boundaries of his spiritual faith by enduring more. In fact, he did this when he fasted, first for 10 days and then later for 21 days. Don't want to do that again until next year. He did it when he also fasted so that he would be granted the knowledge to interpret the dreams of one king. Then he fasts again to interpret the dreams for another king. He's just constantly training, listening to the instructions of the Lord while building his spiritual strength through prayer. And it was through those prayers that God called him into action. So now we've built some strength in our spiritual life. We've got some strong muscles going on. But now we come to the part of the endurance training. This is our spiritual walk with God. I want you to think of this part as kind of like the cardio, right? The part no one really likes to do. The running, the getting moving. You're going to use those muscles in motion. This is the place where we're going to use the knowledge and faithfulness and experience we've built with the Lord to start doing things for the Lord. Like Daniel, it's time for us to start some endurance training of our own, because the truth of it is we have some hurdles ahead and we need to be trained and ready to go. So what is spiritual endurance training? What does this look like? Well, it looks something like this. If you're here today at Red Chapel and you've been coming, or even if it's your first day, you join a small group, or you begin to volunteer at church. Maybe you decide to start a small group or teach. We learn more. We read more. We get baptized. That video, oh my gosh, brought me to tears back there. But we begin to align our life and activities with that of a righteous follower. We start doing whatever it is he is calling us to do, because we have to start walking in faith first. See, God requires us to take those first steps in order to bring us closer to him. We'll come back to that in a second. But let's see. So all this strengthening, right? Strength takes time. And this training, this endurance takes training, have to lead up to something, right? Seems like we're building up to this climax in the story of Daniel, and we are, because the exercise analogy is perfect for illustrating what we can do with our natural abilities, but the final element in standing strong is completely outside our natural abilities, and it requires us to step out in faith. So our third point today is going to be trust God's faithfulness. So let's head back to Daniel, right? The king has declared that no one can pray or worship anyone but him. But Daniel, of course, has returned home. He's done his thing. He's praying. And of course, those king's advisors are in the front row just waiting for him to pray boldly. They catch him and they're on their way back to just rat Daniel out to King Darius. So let's pick up on Daniel verses 16. It says, "So at last the king gave orders for Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, 'May your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you.' A stone was brought out and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you served so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'Long live the king. My God has sent an angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty.' The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God." So here's Daniel, thrown into this den, right? These big old hungry, crazy lions, and he comes out with not a scratch on his head. Not a scratch. His faith is so strong, his prayers are so bold that even a lion cannot touch him. Let's think about that lion and what it represents for us here today. Is it the roar of the enemy? Is it the growl of anger? Is it that den of despair, the darkness that permeates everything? You see, the lion's den is real for all of us. But let's look at Daniel. He isn't worried or scared. We don't hear how he threw himself at the feet of the king for mercy. We don't hear how he begged for his life to be spared. No, he was willing to make the ultimate stand for God, because whether or not he came out of that lion's den, God had won. Daniel had been willing to die for his belief in the Lord, and he was willing to be torn from limb to limb to serve our God. Whew, that is faith. That is commitment. And when we supply the natural, God supplies the supernatural. Here's the thing. Daniel may have prayed and prayed faithfully, but he didn't shut that lion's mouth. God did. God will intervene on your behalf when you commit to living a life with him. Because it's not always the case that the lion's den will come when you're 80 years old. You may be in the lion's den at 25 or 40 or 65 or anywhere in between. And as we live long enough, we find ourselves in the proverbial lion's den over and over again. In fact, you may be here right now and you feel like you're in that lion's den at this moment. The light has been shut out by the rock of despair, and that lion is just gnarling at your feet while you pump your chest out and try to stand strong. What lion's den are you stuck in today? What circumstance has you in unending darkness and despair? How many of us are in need of an angel to shut the mouth of the lions in our lives? The lion that tries to tear down our marriage. The lion that rips at our relationship with our children or parents. The claws that keep your financial situation in shreds. The teeth of that past abuse that just keeps a grip on this new life and won't let you move forward. How do we survive the lion's den? Well, the truth is, the only way out of that lion's den is through the supernatural work of our God. It only happens when we release this expectation that we can solve any of it, and we put it in God's hands and say, "Take it." If Daniel had tried to shut the mouth of the lion himself, this story would have ended in a whole different direction. But Daniel knew that God would supply his victory, that God would find him innocent, and that God would deliver him from evil. If you supply the natural, God will supply the supernatural. Stand strong. Our God is a God who serves those who are faithful to him. Be faithful. Be thankful. Be strong. Be patient. Be in wonder of his unending grace. Because even after all of our strengthening and our training, his faithfulness is what's going to lead us out of that lion's den. So about 6 months ago, I found out that there was this amazing speaker by the name of Christine Kane, and she was going to be holding a workshop for called Women in Ministry. And she'd actually hosted this same workshop the year before, and it sold out in an hour. I was just really sad. So this time, the email came through at 4:50 a.m. Thank you, small children, for waking me up at what's usually an ungodly hour, because I got that email at 4:50, and I went straight to buy a ticket, and I got it, and I was so pumped. I just couldn't believe that I was actually going to be able to see this. And when you buy these tickets, there are all these things called like electronic tickets, right? So at the time, I thought, perfect. I can't lose this ticket. It's great. It's going to be in my email. It's fantastic. And I just kind of went about my stuff. And as the event was coming closer, I was just getting more and more excited because I knew that God wanted me to be there. I had been praying out loud, of course, for some clarity on some things and some of the lines that I was in at that moment. And I knew that if I could just get there, I know the Lord is going to just shed this light on the situation. I just can't wait to get there. Well, the night before, my mom, who's way smarter than me, says, hey, so where are you going for this workshop? And I'm like, oh, well, the electronic ticket says Orange County, but I really didn't have an address, so I thought I better figure out where I'm going, right? So again, I go to this electronic ticket, and it just says Orange County. But there is this little button that says you can email your ticket, right? So click here and get your email ticket sent to you. So I click it, and of course it says, sent, may take 24 hours to be received, and I'm like, okay, that's fine, right? How often does that really happen? Usually it's like you click over, and it's already sent. So I go to my email, and I check, nothing. Okay, an hour later, 2 hours later, nothing. 3 hours later, nothing. 4 hours later, nothing. It is now 10 o'clock at night, and I'm starting to get a little bit, uneasy. So I put on this detective hat that all moms have. We keep it under the bed. If you ever see her pull it out, just stand back. So I put on this detective hat, and I start searching the web, right, for all of this, any information I can find. I'm doing Google searches, Instagram searches. For those of you who know me, I don't have the Facebook, but I use my dad's sign-in information to go to the Facebook to see if I can find this address, and of course, nothing. So I go to bed, and I know by morning it's going to be here. I have faith. I'm just going to go to bed. It's going to be sent. I wake up. So I wake up. I grab my phone. I check that email. Nothing. Nothing. It's now 7 a.m., and I need to leave by 8 a.m. if I'm going to make it to this make-believe place called Orange County, right? So I kind of start to lose it. I know I need to be at this conference. I paid good money for this conference. Why would God get me so excited and bring me here and then leave me with no direction? My husband at this time, he's gone over to the corner where I've like chucked the detective hat and had a big old, hissy fit. He goes and he picks up that detective hat and sits on the computer and just starts doing his thing, searching. He ends up finding, I'm not kidding you, it's like a P.O. box that's connected with Christine Kane in a different organization through a different website that leads back to here and have the same P.O. box. And underneath, with no information, is just a phone number. That's it. Just a phone number. So again, it's 8 a.m. I call. Of course no one answers. It's 8 a.m. in California. Everyone is still asleep. So I leave this frantic message, hang up, and I just sit there and like, what am I going to do? I could ask for a refund, but I need to get there. You know what I could do is I could just start driving to Orange County on faith. So I hop in my car and I pull up my phone and I say, Siri, give me directions to the magical place called Orange County, California. And she responds back with, John Wayne Airport, Orange County, do you want to go there? And I say, yes, because John Wayne's never let anybody down, and he's not going to let me down today. So I put in that address. Destination arrival time is 9:35. Perfect. Event starts at 9:30, right? Whew, it's fine as long as it's somewhere in the vicinity, right? So again, I just start driving on faith, and I'm driving, and I'm praying, and I'm crying, and I'm praising the Lord. And right about 9, like right where the 57 starts to merge into the 60, I decide to call this phone number again. This poor 821 campaign, Tammy speaking. I don't know what I said to this girl, and I'm pretty sure it was way too much information. I'm sure I was like snorting and cry laughing and doing all of this stuff as I threw this whole scenario on poor Tammy from the A21 campaign, right? But she listens to me, and then she says, you know, I don't know where you're supposed to be going, but I'm going to help you find out where you need to be. And I just felt that faith that... So she gives me the name of a church that she thinks Christine's going to be at. She's not sure it's this event, but whatever, I'll take whatever I can get at this point, right? I take the name of the church, I plug it back into my phone, and I would say you won't believe this, but of course you're going to believe this. This church is less than a quarter mile from the airport. It's closer to me than if I'd actually gone to the airport. It's the exact directions I needed to take to get to this church. New destination arrival time is 9:30 a.m. You have to walk in faith first. You have to get behind the wheel and know that God has his GPS set on victory for you. Because you see, God could have taken that ticket and given it to me anytime, right? He could have emailed it to me the second I needed it, but he didn't do that. He could have delivered that address in a whole bunch of ways, but he didn't do that because he was requiring me to step out in faith first, stand strong. You see, the thing with that ministry, that workshop that I went to was called Women in Ministry, and I didn't know why I was going exactly, but I knew I was being called to do it. And because of that workshop, Pastor Donnie found out that I went to that workshop, and he'd been having some conversations with the Lord about whether it was time for me to step out to do this sermon. So because I stepped out in faith, Pastor Donnie had some kind of revelation that what he thought was true. I'm standing here today giving my testimony because I stepped out in faith. And that's the thing about faith. It might seem like the tiniest bit, right? Like just jump in the car and go, whatever he's calling to you, I don't care how small it is. He is calling you to do something bigger, to stand strong. And all we have to do is take that first step, and he will not let us down. So what has God called you to do? What has God called you to endure in order to strengthen your relationship with him? What lessons are you learning right now at this moment? Lessons that are going to require you to go back to your strengthening portion of your training to gain momentum to get through the struggles in your life right now. I've learned that so many of my answered prayers, my unanswered prayers, come from the lack of faith on my part. Like, it comes from me, like, not acting, from not taking that first step towards what God has told me to do. I pray, I read the Bible, and then I hesitate. Where's Danny? I'm sure it was meant for him, right? Like, he's not talking to me. And the thing about training is that it never gets easier because you only push harder to see more results, right? When you're working out, the more you work out, you just push yourself more. And the same thing happens in our lives as we begin to trust God. The trials get harder and the strength needed becomes even more evident. How long have you prayed for your marriage, but you find yourself on the brink of divorce? Stand strong. How often have you prayed for that child that has lost his way from Christ? Stand strong. How much more suffering must your body endure? Stand strong. How many more years of financial turmoil must you suffer before the burdens are lightened? Stand strong. You see, this is where a lot of us poop out in life, and I apologize if that word offends you, but I love it. You poop out because seriously, this is where most people, they throw in the towel and they walk away from whatever it is because it seems too hard. But this is where we are growing and trusting the Lord and believing in miracles for knowing that an all-powerful God is the only true answer to our situation. This is where we use those biblical readings and the prayer sessions, all the blood, the sweat, the tears to hone in on that enemy that's attacking us. This is where we crush those thoughts of unworthiness beneath us. This is where we stamp out the fear of failure from our view. This is where we claim victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. We strengthen, we endure, we strengthen, we repeat. We strengthen, we endure, we strengthen, we repeat. Because the lion's den is on the horizon. But if we are like Daniel, and if we have prepared through prayer and reading of the Bible, and we put our faith into action, God will lead us through. Amen? Amen. Let's, yeah. At this time, I'm going to have you stand. We're going to say a quick prayer before we keep going a little farther. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the trials and training that you've taken us through in order to prepare us to make a stand for you. Lord, we will stand strong in our faith that through you all things are possible, that through you all circumstances can be overcome. We ask that you find us wherever we are in our walk with you today, Lord. If we are just beginning our relationship, if we're just learning to talk to you, to trust you, and to follow you, Lord, that you will guide our new life towards one that is full of strength and endurance. And if we are training in our faith through deeds, through small groups, through leadership in this church, we ask that you protect us from our own insecurities and doubts, and that you will call us to walk more boldly into the lion's den with you. And Lord, if we are in the lion's den right now, we ask that you shut the mouths of those who seek to destroy us and our faith, that we stand strong in your faithfulness and unwavering in our spiritual training. And today, if you are here and you are asking for some help in the lion's den for the first time, or if you've never had a chance to commit your life to Christ, I want you just to pray this along with me today. Lord, I am a sinner and I need you in my life. I realize that I alone cannot contain the chaos that surrounds me in this world. Lord, I ask that you help me to walk towards you in faith so that I can begin my journey with you today. I seek to know you better, to serve you faithfully, and to follow you fully. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen.
Thank you for listening to Red Chapel's podcast. It is our hope that you are inspired and motivated by the message that you have just heard. At Red Chapel, we are determined to create environments where people can experience life change. If you want to personally be part of that life change, submit a love offering at www.redchapel.org under the Donate tab. Your gift will change someone's life.